Well, thank you for joining us again online here at Pleasant Valley South for worship. And I want to say Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there, and I hope your families will celebrate you on this day. I want to share with you today a message entitled, A Dad That Makes a Difference, and I invite you to take your smart device, find the scripture, or take your paper copy of the Word of God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I'll wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man. What a resume he had. He was blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This year, 16 million people in America are going to have an experience that is second only to their conversion experience, accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's going to be something greater than the way they vote. It's going to be greater than any technical problem than you solve. It's going to be something greater than any achievement that you'll have this year in your life. I want you to know that 16 million Americans will become parents for the first time this year. What's very interesting about parenthood is this. We put people through strenuous training in order to become an airline pilot or a fighter pilot. For a person to become a lawyer, they have to go through years and years of training. To be a physician, you have to go through years and years of education. Most of the time, when a young lady and young man suddenly they become parents, they have not had one single training course on how to perform that responsibility. Suddenly, you have this beautiful baby given from God that's going to develop a personality, and your responsibility as mom and dad is to invest time in this awesome task of being a parent to that child. Our value systems have caused there to be tremendous reasons for the absence of the father in homes, and that's creating a major problem. Fathers are authors in their home. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, God wants you to be the author of a God-loving, God-fearing, God-honoring home. I want you to read with me Psalm 78, verse 5 through 7, and listen to the instructions God has given us. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may raise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. God has commanded dads to teach children the commandments of God. The New Testament tells us the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. The word translated admonition means that you put something into the mind of another. Fathers, you're to be putting something into the minds of your children, namely the Word of God or Scripture. Now from Genesis 6, I want to show every man this morning how to be an influential father. If there was ever a generation that needed godly, influential fathers, it's the generation we have right now in the 21st century. Noah was living in a day similar to ours. God describes the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. He said it was a time of apostasy. That means that people were turning away from God. There were days of anarchy. There were days of apathy. It sounds like modern America, apostasy, anarchy, and apathy. And then in verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah lived in the worst of times when you think about morality, the lack of it. Don't you know it was difficult to raise children in a godly home in that kind of environment? But ladies and gentlemen, it is possible. We can raise godly children in this wicked and perverse generation. So beginning in verse 6, I want to share with you dads how you can be a very influential father with your children. First of all, Noah was a very faithful man. That's how he influenced his family toward the things of God. He was faithful. Now, don't think for a second that that was an easy task for him, but I want you to know he was the only person on planet Earth at that time that had a heart and a passion for knowing and walking with God. Sometimes we begin to think that we're the only Christians at school. Sometimes we think we're the only Christians where we work, maybe on the football, the baseball, the tennis, soccer teams. Sometimes we think we're the only person who's faithful to God with the environment in which we live. But I want you to know, Noah was really the only saint in his time. Like his great-grandfather Enoch before him, Noah walked with God. Look at verse 9 for a minute. Do you see the word generations? That comes from a Hebrew word that means to go in a circle. Just as planets orbit the sun, Noah's life revolved around God. The main attraction of his life was God. He was more attracted to God than to the things of this world. Verse 9, Noah was a just man. In other words, he was in a right standing with God. He was perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a dad who's going to influence your family, your children, your grandchildren toward the things of God, you've got to be genuine. You've got to walk with God every day. And look again at Noah's worldview in verse 11 and 12. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sounds like our generation. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. Now God had enough. Look at verse 13. God says, I will destroy them on the earth. In other words, judgment day is coming. Look at verse 14. God told Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it on the inside and the outside with pitch. And let me ask you a question. Do you think Noah was qualified to build an ark? Ladies and gentlemen, he was not a carpenter. He was a preacher. And I can tell you, most of us preachers don't have many skills with our hands, especially in the area of carpentry. He had been preaching for 120 years, and nobody had responded to the gospel. Think about what his neighbors said. They'd never even seen rain before, And this man is building something called an ark. Can you imagine when his children went to school? Their peers would say, "Your daddy is a fool. He's out here saying we're going to have a flood. We don't even know what that is. And he's building that big monstrosity over there that he calls an ark. Your daddy is crazy." But look how faithful Noah was down in verse 22. "Thus Noah did according to all God commanded." Noah knew that judgment was coming. God warned him, but do you know why God warned him? Look at verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." God was warning him. That warning was an act of grace. He said, "Judgment's coming. I want you to prepare." God wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be prepared for eternity. By trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord, the warning is this in Hebrews 9:27, "And it's appointed for men to die once, but after this, there's going to be the judgment." We have our warning for our day. Philippians 2:9-12 says, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." If there was ever a father that influenced his children and his family for the Lord, it was this man named Noah. He was a faithful man, faithful to God. But I want you to write down this: he was also a family man. He was a man who influenced his entire family toward God. Noah was saved. Do you know how? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we see how the Old Testament people were saved. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household." How were people in the Old Testament saved? How in the world did they go to heaven? All of those Old Testament people were saved the same way New Testament people are saved, by faith in Jesus. The only difference was the people in the Old Testament were saved by looking forward to the cross and what Jesus would do. And those of us in our generation look back to what was done on the cross through Jesus Christ so we could be saved and defeat death. Now, Noah's faith in God was not transferable, but I want you to know it was contagious. His family was saved the same way he was saved, by grace through faith. Now, look at Genesis 7:7. "So Noah with his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, went into the ark." Now, that ark is a picture or a symbol of Jesus. You see, the water was God's judgment, and as they entered into the ark of safety, they were protected from the judgment of God. Not one drop of judgment touched Noah and his family. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And just as there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, there was no condemnation to those who were in the ark of safety, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did they get into the ark? The same way you and I get into a relationship with Christ, by grace through faith. Genesis 6:8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And in Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, Noah prepared the ark." So how do you think Shem, Ham, and Japheth learned to become men of God? The same way they learned how to become men, by spending time with their father. How do you think boys learn how to be men? Dr. James Dobson did some research years ago, and he discovered that when a boy is born, he's really bonded to his mother for the first 2 years. But he said there's a little bit of a separation that takes place after the age of 2 till around the age of 5 years old. He says they become emotionally detached somewhat from their mother, and they try to bond towards whatever male figure is nearby. Proverbs 29:15 says this, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Every child needs a father or a father figure. The average five-year-old today spends 25 minutes a week with their father. That's 3.5 minutes a day. Let me ask you a question. How many minutes a day do you think a five-year-old spends on an electronic device? And when you calculate that time, then I can tell you who is actually influencing your child. Our homes are in trouble. There's a Reader's Digest article called Where Have All the Fathers Gone? And in it, a professor of psychology at Cornell University stated that perhaps because it was more pronounced, the absence of the father was more critical than that of the mother. Goes on to say that the father tends to differentiate considerably more than the mother between the sons and the daughters, and to reward his children with sex-appropriate behavior more than she does. The father, he says, is probably more important than the mother to the healthy sexual development of both boys and girls. And Dr. Biller goes on to say that the high father-present group demonstrated much higher academic achievement. His study also shows that the lack of that presence hurts, and that a father-deprived child tends to have more problems with the opposite sex and with his own sexual orientation. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy made a commitment years ago that his home life was going to be as normal as possible, even though his career demanded him to be on the road. At great expense, he would return home after shows rather than staying in hotels on the road. It was indicative of his commitment to family. He said this, quote, I got invited to host a dinner at the White House once, but I couldn't go because it was the same night as my daughter's play at school. 20 years from now, the president from that time won't remember whether or not I hosted that dinner and entertained, but he said, if I had not been at my daughter's play, she would have remembered. His faith drives his fatherhood as it should for every man. Now, he was a faithful man, but I want you to see also he was a flawed man. He was not an absentee dad, but he was not an altogether dad. We look at Genesis 9, 18 through 25. Let me say to the children here today that your dad may be a faithful man, he may be a family man, but he is not flawless. Your dad is not perfect, just like children are imperfect. The Bible says that Noah walked with God, but he stumbled and was not perfect. He made mistakes just like our fathers make them as well. Noah's sin led to his son to sin, and God cursed the entire family lineage. In Genesis 9:25, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. Now, write this down. 42% of American homes do not have a dad present. That means 20 million children in America, which is roughly the population of the state of Florida, do not have a dad present in their home. Why are we in such a crisis with our generations, with our children, with our young adults? It's because men are not standing up and taking their God-ordained responsibility in the home. We can look to Antarctica for guidance, how to live sacrificially for our kids. Once the female of emperor penguins has produced an egg, the males begin an amazing process of care. The females leave after they lay their eggs to spend the winter at sea, but the males come along, and what they do is they have this little fold of skin there on their feet, and they get eggs underneath there. And I want you to know, all during the winter, even when the temperature goes to 30 below zero, those male penguins are keeping those eggs warm up to 100 degrees until they hatch. The male penguins get together, all of them that are hatching the eggs the females have laid. They're doing the incubation period. And I want you to know they all huddle together. And I want you to know that their feathers and the blubber on them, that's what helps protect them from the extreme colds. And I want you to know by the time the eggs hatch that the males have lost 45% of their body weight. God's creation offers us a beautiful picture of a paternal sacrifice for the well-being of our offspring. Imagine what America would become if every father began behaving like these penguins' dads. The next thing I want you to write down that is that Noah was a forgiven man. Look at Genesis chapter 9, 11 through 13 and 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 9, beginning with verse 11. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And look at verse 16 and 17. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. A reporter got on a plane when she was flying home for an assignment. Seated next to her was a young man with his preschool daughter. They struck up a conversation, the reporter and this man. She found out that he was serving in the United States Senate. He's a young father, had several children. He said, I have developed a terminal brain tumor. I'm on the way to resign my position in the Senate. He said, I remember when I was first elected a senator, one of my colleagues came to me and said this. When I came to Washington as a senator, I paid the price. I worked hard. I gave it everything I had. And when I did, I lost my family. He said, this condition of my tumor has made me analyze my time. And I'm retiring, so I'll spend more time with my children, my three girls, and my wife. Ladies and gentlemen, your children, your wife will forgive you for a lot of things, but sometimes when you don't invest time in them, they have a hard time with that forgiveness process. It can become bitterness and resentment. The next thing I want you to write down about him is Noah left footprints. What kind of footprints do you need to leave your children? First, you need to show affection to your children. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. Dr. Spitz took a survey among boys and girls who were raised in home situations where they didn't receive a lot of love and affection. And there was another group of children raised with the same kind of physical background, the same kind of care basically, nice provisions, clean, comfortable environment, same kind of food, but instead they were given a lot of affection and individual attention. And they found an amazing thing. Listen to this. The children who were raised without much affirmation, without much personal attention, or display of love could not feed themselves by age 2, nor could they talk or even walk. The other group received a lot of affection, were talked to and touched and encouraged, could talk, could walk, could feed themselves, and were much further along in their intellectual journey. Show affection by affirmation. There's nothing wrong with a wholesome hug. There's nothing wrong with a pat on the shoulder, a word of praise when they've done something well. The other thing, not only show affection, leave footprints of affection. Here's the other thing, dads. You need to love your children's mother. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to be faithful and supportive of the mother and let them see some of that affection. And then give them security. Foundation of the home must be secure. The home will last despite what happens around them. They need that security. They also need stability, a secure fortress where your children can come for godly counsel. And then the other thing, this is just most important, prepare your children for eternity. Matthew 16:26. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet he forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Can you imagine being a father on your deathbed and you're losing consciousness and your thought processes are waning and your children and your wife are around your bed and you don't know Jesus as your Savior? You're about to experience the greatest tragedy known to man. An eternity in hell separated from God and all your Christian loved ones. But dad, suppose your children are standing around and maybe even your wife, and they're not saved because you never got saved and you never shared the plan of salvation with them. Don't send your kids to church. Bring them to church. Teach them the Bible and show them God. You can succeed everywhere else, but if you don't lead your own children to a saving knowledge of Christ, you're a failure as a dad. I know they have to make their own decisions when children grow up, but I believe when they have footprints that are clear out there set by dad, and they're given a foundation for their life in the Word of God, they at least have an opportunity to know the ultimate way to live and where they're going to spend eternity. Evangelizing your children is just so very, very important for a dad. Then be an example before your children. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Apostle Paul says an amazing thing. Now, it sounds kind of boastful, but he's living for Christ. He's proclaiming Christ. He says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Can you imagine walking up to somebody saying, imitate me? No, I'd tell you to imitate Jesus, but Paul was living so close to God, he says, listen to me. That's a bold statement. Whatever you see me do, whatever you hear me say, imitate those things in your life. Let me ask you something, dads. Can you say to your children today, I want you to imitate me. I want you to use the same language that I use. I want you to frequent the same places where I go. I want you to work like I do. I want you to attend church like I do. I want you to pray like I do. I want you to minister like I do. One day I want you to love your kids like I love you. I want you to love your spouses the way I love your mother. Can you really say to your kids today, I want you to imitate me? You know what I see a lot of fathers do, and mothers as well. If that mom and dad say they're involved in church and they have children, they get their children involved in Bible study and Bible school and Awanas, and get them all the way through to the last child that's graduated from high school, and the parents quit church. Oh, we raised our children there. Oh, you just know, it's just so difficult to get up on Sundays. You know what you just said to your kids that went off to college and out into life? We're hypocrites. You see, if Jesus is Lord of your life, it's a lifetime commitment, and it's a lifetime of service. Do you want your kids to get married and raise their kids and raise them in church and in the Word? And then when the kids get out of the house, do you want them to say, that's not important to us anymore? Someone sent this email and said, here's what you need to learn about Noah and the ark. First of all, don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat of salvation. Second thing you want to write down is this: we're all on the same boat. We're born with a sin nature, and we all need to trust Jesus as our Savior. Third thing is plan ahead. Remember, never rained before Noah built that ark. But God said it's going to rain, it's going to flood. Better plan ahead, start building that ark. Number four, stay fit. You never know at 600 years old what God's going to call you to do. Number five, don't listen to your critics. Just get on with the task God called you to accomplish. Number six, build your future on high ground. Number seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number eight, speed isn't everything. The snails were on board the ark with the cheetahs. Number nine, when you're stressed, float for a while. Number 10, remember the ark was built by amateurs. The Titanic was built by professional shipbuilders. Number 11, no matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting on the other side. Dads, let's renew determination this Father's Day to be men of God, and spiritually leading our families toward the things of God. You know, my dad was raised on a farm. He's just a blue-collar worker. He taught us to love God. He taught us to work hard. He taught us to pay our bills, get our education. Always be a person of integrity. I didn't like the discipline that he enforced. And he sure was not perfect. And he definitely didn't have three perfect kids. But I'm eternally grateful for the kind of dad and the kind of example that he gave me. He was married for almost 62 years to my mom. And when she passed away, he said, mission accomplished, till death do us part. He taught me how to be a husband for over 42 years. That's the kind of commitment I've had to Delaney. If you've had a good father, be thankful. If you haven't had a good father, there's probably somebody God put in your path to be that other father. You need to give thanks to God for that person, whether it's a mentor, an uncle, whoever it was, and let that person know how much you appreciate all that they have invested in you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for meeting us with us today. Thank you for dads who are willing to take the God-ordained responsibility to take care of the kids that they help bring into the world. We thank you for them today. There are many godly fathers in this congregation that I just admire so much their involvement with their kids and their love for their precious wife. We all fall short. None of us are perfect. 1 John 1:9 says, if you're a Christian, we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There's some dads that need to make that confession to the Lord and just start over afresh and anew with mom and with the kids. Maybe you're here today and you've never, watching today, and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You know, one thing I've noticed, when dad gets saved, it's amazing how most of the time the rest of the kids get saved. And the reason for that is, in Ephesians, we're told that dad is the spiritual head of the house. He's the rudder for the ship. All you need to do is confess you're a sinner. We all are, beginning with me. Jesus lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial, substitutionary, atoning death on the cross. That's just a fancy way of saying He paid the price for our salvation with His blood. And He said, whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. Dad, would you do that? Mom, would you do that? Teenagers, young adults, children, would you do that? New parents, would you do that? What a blessing it is when a child is born to a practicing dad, a practicing Christian mom. What a great blessing that is for that little gift of a child in that home. Lord, we just thank You for these instructions that You give us through Noah. Help us to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered Christians living our lives, adhering to Your word as we walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need prayer, or you need to know more about accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you would just call the number on your screen on Monday morning, 706-234-1841, and one of our staff members will follow up with you. Dads, hope you have a great Father's Day. And we look so forward to seeing all of you here Sunday morning at 10:30 on March the 28th.